Well, hallelujah. Would that make a difference? Hallelujah. Would it matter? Yes, it would. You know, you guys always act like I'm not talking to you. There's nobody else here but you. Well, it does matter. It does make a difference. And how awesome is it to know that God is doing something great in the midst of all the chaos, that there is still goodness in the midst of evil and darkness. And you and I are a part of the working of God. We represent that goodness, that reality check that the world needs. Hallelujah. We are living in a crazy world, aren't we? Are we not? Right? Things that are actually real and in front of you, people don't believe that anymore. We're living in crazy times. Why are you and I so withdrawn when we need to shine with the light of Christ and of God? Because God has given us a horn to blow, isn't that right? And he has given us a reason to proclaim and magnify the Lord. And there is nothing greater than being a part of the kingdom of God. Nothing more exciting than being led by the Spirit of God, of knowing that the Lord goes before us and he is making a way for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And that is the awesomeness of God. And to be able to watch God unfold and bring forth things that we didn't even realize could possibly be, God is able to do the amazing and the incredible. He causes things to be even when they are not. Hallelujah. In other words, he creates out of nothing the very thing that is needed in the time that you need it. It may look impossible. It may look like it cannot be done. But all of a sudden, God moves. Hallelujah. God breathes. He brings into existence the very thing that is necessary in order for you and I to be able to accomplish the purpose for which we have been sent. Hallelujah. That's why all things work together, right? For good. Hallelujah. For those who are called according to my own purpose, what I want to do, how I feel. No, according to the purposes of God. Hallelujah. And so that is why we align ourselves with the Word of God and with the will of God so that the way of God can be accomplished. And once we do, we will see God do amazing things. All we need to do is trust in the Lord. We just wait on the Lord and we look to him. And that is why life is so exciting. And that is why you and I proclaim and magnify the Lord. We celebrate the very things that God is doing in our lives because he is faithful. And so we can trust in the Lord. In all our ways, we can acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. He will make a way for us. Why? Because you're the appointed of God. You're the anointed of God. So blow that horn. Hallelujah. And allow the glory of God to be manifested in your life. I like that. Oh, we're going to hear some of that. So do you know the call of the Lord? Do you know the very sounds of God? You know, there is a spiritual sound of God. And you can go places and you can interact with people, and there is a presence that will be established by the people who are in the midst of the place that you go. And everywhere you go, the spirit of the people will radiate in that place. And that spirit, that the essence of who a person is, it will begin to establish itself in the atmosphere. And the more people come together with a like spirit, the stronger that presence becomes until ultimately it permeates a space. And that is why you and I, we come in the presence of the Lord. We come in the name of the Lord, in the spirit of the Lord. And so you and I are able to represent the kingdom of God. And so there are sounds in the heavenlies. And we all know the various horns that we have been talking about over the past week or so. And the horn of the Spirit of God is the ram's horn. And we have been talking about these horns of salvation, these horns that represent healing and deliverance, that represent the salvation, the full salvation of the Lord. And the horn was used in several different ways. The most prominent was that it was used as the horn that you blow. And whenever we hear the word horn, we think of a horn that you blow. Isn't that right? Right? When you ever hear people honk their horns? Yes, yeah, in their cars, right? Yes, and some people when they blow their nose, right? And there are these sounds that is the sound of the horn. And the horn in Scripture is commonly used that they blow is known as the shofar. And the shofar is the horn that was used to command or summon the people of God into the presence of the Lord. And it represents the Spirit of God being in the midst in various ways. It was used as a call of God. And the horn was also used as part of the altar in the four corners of the altar, as we talked about last week, and it was there to tie down the sacrificial sacrifices that were to be made, but also was a place of refuge where people who found themselves in a sinful situation and state would be able to come to the altar and hold on and allow mercy to come their way. It was a plea and a cry for mercy, the mercy of God. It was a place where the prayers of God would go up and the people would pray and it would ascend like incense into the presence of the Lord. And finally, it was used as a cup to hold the oil of anointing. And the oil of anointing was used to sanctify a particular person for the sake and the use of the kingdom of God. And so we are talking about those three things this month. And we know that God has called us as his people, as Revelation 1:6 says, that he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. This is who you and I become when we submit ourselves to God, when we submit our lives to God, when we ask him to come into our hearts. When you accept Jesus, you are transformed from the inside out. God begins to manifest himself in our lives. And so I would like to use as a theme today the sound of the horn. Hallelujah. The sound of the horn. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you are in the midst of us, that you care for us, that you have made every provision for us, that you actually watch over us and you have established yourself even in the midst of your people by your word. Your word is true. It is sure. It is the anchor to which we are able to hold on. The very thing that we can align ourselves with as we hide it in our hearts, that we might not miss the mark against you, but that we would be able to be in full agreement with who you are and what you are doing in the midst of our lives. And we thank you, O God, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the word of the Lord is our strong tower, and it is his bond. It is the very thing that God gives us so that we can have assurance. The word of God is something that is presented in the natural, but it is of the spirit, and it's designed to bridge the gap between the flesh and the spirit of God, or the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. The word of God is the bridge that is between those two places of existence, those two realities, the reality of the natural and the reality of the spiritual. And that is why Jesus is the word made flesh. And that is why when we walk according to the word of God, when it is something that we're meditating on day and night, in other words, it's a part of our identity, of who we are, we become opened up or expanded, not just in the sense of knowledge and understanding, but the dynamic of the Spirit of God. And we are able to have an experience through God, through Christ, as we live out the word of God, as we apply it in our hearts and in our lives. And so you and I are called to be those ambassadors. We are representatives, right, of Christ. And an ambassador is somebody who represents one nation before others. Is that right? You have one nation before the other nations. And you and I, we're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We represent the kingdom of God to this world, to whatever nation we live in and around the world. We are ambassadors to our jobs. We are ambassadors in our families. We are ambassadors in our communities. And as we go in and about the things that we do, we are representatives of the kingdom of God. And so what that means is, you and I, we have we kind of have diplomatic immunity. Hallelujah. That means the devil has no authority over us. And so all of the snares and all of the things that are designed by him to hinder the work of the kingdom of God are rendered useless and of no effect, because the word of God guards us, it covers us, it sustains us, it enables us, so that as we walk in it, the presence of God, the workings of the Spirit of God act as a shelter to us. And so you and I, we have a place of refuge in God, so that when the enemy rises up and he attacks, you and I are able to resist the devil so that he might flee from us. So that means if one can chase 1,000, then two can put 10,000 to flight. That's what the word of God says, isn't it? Do you guys know what the word of God says? Oh, okay. All right. I'm just checking. Yeah, yeah. So God has called us to be the people of God who know how to blow the horn. You have to know how to sound the alarm. And the sound is to declare the sounds of God, the word of God. And everything about God makes a sound. Hallelujah. When God spoke to Moses in the mountain, it sounded like thunder and lightning. Moses wasn't just standing there listening to voices in his head. Hallelujah. And so, there is the sound of the Spirit of God. And when God is working, there is a presence that goes out. And there is a sound of the Spirit of God. That's why there's the difference between a good singer and an anointed singer. There is the difference between a skilled musician and an anointed musician. There is a difference between a believer who is religious and a believer who is spirit-filled. There is a difference. The Spirit of God, when he is at work in our lives, he establishes a presence, and there is a sound, and you're able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." It's not in the words that he says, but it's in the spirit of the words that he says. And so it's bigger than just the words in and of themselves, because words are common. The words that we use to communicate are a common language and are of a common origin. But when there is breath in those words that comes from God, it changes everything. And so we're able to recognize when God is speaking because of the frequency of God. There's breath or life in the sound of life. It is the very sound of life. It is the breath of God. And when the Spirit of God is moving, oh, you and I are able to hear. We feel it. We sense it. We know the presence of God because of the anointing of the Spirit of God. So we are to represent the kingdom of God as his ambassadors. And so the Word of God makes it very clear who can blow the horn. Who can blow the horn? Who is the one who is called to declare the call of God? And in Numbers chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "The priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets. And this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations." In other words, this is going to be passed on through your sons from one generation to the next. And we, as the people of God, are to train up our children in the way of the Lord, so that when we are old and they are old, they will not depart from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're so good at it? No, because God is in the business of bringing order. God is the one. He keeps us. He sustains us. The shepherd, they corral the sheep. They keep them in the sheepfold. That is the shepherd's job. It's not the sheep's job. Hallelujah. It's the sheep's job to be sheep. And so God, he watches over us, the Word of God says. And he's declared that you and I are to be the representatives of the kingdom of God. And like the priests of Aaron, it is the high priest's job to blow the trumpets. No random person could just blow the trumpet. First of all, to blow the trumpet, it requires a certain skill. Isn't that right? And I have here today with me, I have this. This is a horn. Anybody can't blow this horn. And I can certainly challenge anybody to try. But it's not something that is easily done. Right? Trust me, that takes practice. Hallelujah. And the horn is something that we take seriously. We don't take it for granted because it represents something. And the Word of God tells us that in heaven there were sounds. In fact, Satan was the master musician. And the Word of God tells us that in his body there were temples and there were pipes. And so that when he moved, he had his own theme music. He was the one who created the sounds that represented the power of God, the move of God, the call of God, so that all of the angels would sing. You see, Satan didn't sing. Satan made the sounds. He was the one, he was the instrument, was in himself. But it was the angels singing. It was all of heaven who will sing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And the sound of the instruments of praise and worship would blow. And so you wonder why music has such a strong influence on people today. It's because Satan was made for music. He was made to make sounds. And the sounds that he makes draws people in. And music in general is a spiritual force. It's unlike pretty much everything else that we experience in life. The idea that sound has been designed to call people to order before God. And so therefore, the spirit of the one who originates the sound is the spirit that is doing the beckoning and the calling. And so often we get caught up in the music of this world because of the spirit that is behind it. It is the spirit of the music that we have to be careful of, because it's designed to either bring you into the presence of God or the presence of Satan himself, who is trying to distract or hinder or block the move of the Spirit of God. And that's why one song brings in the presence of God and another one brings in a counterfeit spirit, a distracting spirit that appeals to the flesh, that's designed to keep you or prevent you from the presence of God. Now, I don't have time to go into all that and explain it for you, but just understand this, that there is power in the sounds of music. In fact, the hills are alive. I couldn't resist. The Spirit of God is in the sound of the trumpet. And throughout the Word of God, we see over and over again the trumpets that blow. And Aaron and his sons were trained in how to blow the shofar. And the shofar is a skilled instrument, and it requires practice. And God used it to bring forth the presence of God, to represent the kingdom of God. And so not everyone could blow the horn, but only those who were of the priestly line of Aaron. And God had designated them. Each of us, we're all called. We're all called to the Spirit of God, to the kingdom of God. And I first recognized this when I was growing up, and I would go to church, and I noticed that there were families that specialized in different ministries of the church. It just seemed so interesting to me, and because it kind of caught me off guard. And I noticed that all the people from one family, they were like ushers in the church. Then there were other people who were, they were on the worship team. They were the singers. Then there were people who were musicians. And there were families of people that were skilled in different areas and ministries of the church. And every ministry had a family or a few families that made up that ministry. And it was their calling. So it was like if you had a kid, you knew that, well, one day they're going to be an usher. They're going to be an usher. One day they're going to be on the worship team. One day they're going to be in pastoral ministry. One day they're going to, why? Because of the call of God that was on the household. And that's why the sons of Aaron are significant, because they and only they were able to blow the horn. And so, saints of God, God has a purpose for you. You have a call. There is an anointing on your house for the service of the Lord, for the work of the Lord. You are being called by God. And when the Spirit of God calls us, we are to respond according to the giftings that he has given us. And so who blows the horn? The priestly sons of Aaron. They shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And verse 5 of Revelation 1 says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Did you catch all of that? Jesus did a lot for us, didn't he? Hallelujah. But he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Hallelujah. And to him who loves us, and he has what? Released us from our sins by his blood. Man, does that bring gladness to your heart? Man, that does something in us. Especially when you realize you're a sinner. Isn't that right? When you realize you have sinned, when you realize that you were lost, but now, I am found. Hallelujah. God is renewing us day by day. We are being made new. We are being transformed. He has released us. Sin binds you. It holds you down. It hinders you from being free, from being the person God has called you to be, from being an excited person for the sake of the kingdom of God. It brings victory into your life. The sound of the winning team. Oh, yeah. And the greater the victory, the greater the sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The defeated ones, they what? They shut up. Right? They're quiet. They're not making any sounds. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of a loser party? You ever hear of a loser's party? No, but you have heard of a victory party, haven't you? Hallelujah. That's because losers don't throw parties. Hallelujah. Losers don't throw parties. Only the victorious throw parties. Hallelujah. And that is God has made you to be released. You are free. Hallelujah. There is a winner's circle, isn't there? You ever hear of a loser's circle? No. Not even a loser's square or a loser's triangle, right? There's nothing for losers. They don't even get to play with the geometric shapes at all. Nothing. Hallelujah. So, saints of God, you've been released from your sin. And that is why you can rejoice. That is why you can be free. Because in the victory circle and at the victory party, there's a sound. Hallelujah. There is a sound that comes from God. Hallelujah. That's why Satan says, no, there is the sound of God. We rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Do you ever read in the scripture where it says, make a joyful quiet? Low sound as not to disturb anyone. No, he says, you're loud. The people of God are loud. Why? Because we live in the winner's circle. There's a perpetual party going on for victory because God is doing something great every single day in your life. There's a reason to blow the horn, and it's because Christ has released us from our sins by his blood. Verse 6 says, and he has made us, made us. That means it wasn't something that was going to happen naturally. It isn't something that just randomly happened, but he made us. Hallelujah. To be a kingdom. A kingdom. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a land. It is a place. It is a space. But in God's case, it is a spiritual kingdom because God is spirit. And so there is this atmospheric presence of spirit beings or the working of the Spirit of God that is established. And then he says he's made us to be priests to his God and Father. In other words, Christ conforms us or transforms us into a priestly people, a kingdom of priests. Are you getting this? Oh, he says, to him be the glory and the dominion, hallelujah, forever and ever. Now this is important because the word dominion is the word kratos in the Greek. And it's from the root meaning, which means to perfect or complete, hallelujah. Remember when Adam was in the garden, God said be fruitful and multiply, and that he'd given him dominion. God gave Adam dominion over all the earth. So that means he was able to perfect it. He was able to complete it. In other words, go out there and be creative. Use your skills and the abilities that I have given you to rule over the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what he gave up in the garden because Satan has taken the dominion that belongs to Adam and has taken it for himself to advance his kingdom, to advance his word, his will, his ways. But Jesus has taken back what the devil stole from Adam in the garden. And now all authority, all power is in his hands. Hallelujah. 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 So you and I are able to represent the Kratos of God forever and ever. Amen. And God says that he is able to bring things into order. He is able to bring in, and we are to give him the glory and the dominion, hallelujah, forever and ever and ever. In other words, we just manifest the glory of God, hallelujah. We allow the Spirit of God to work in us. That's how you take dominion. You and I have to take our dominion back from Satan and stop allowing the enemy to deceive us and to make us feel like we're losers, even though we're standing in the winner's circle. God says, you and I are able to overcome forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There is no point of loss for us except when we surrender our hearts to God and we are no longer our own, but we belong to him. Hallelujah. We are giving up ourselves into the hands of God, and he transforms us into a kingdom of priests unto God. You know what that means? You get to blow the horn. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says of Revelation 5, and he, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, I love this verse. Hallelujah. Not only does the Lord take the book out of the hand of God, but then it says the 24 elders, you remember them, right, from chapter 4, and it says that they were bowing down before the Lord. They fell down before the Lord, and each of them, 24 of them, had harps, and each of them had golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, the people of God. When your prayers are going up, hallelujah, God is collecting them. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, saints of God, you are not forgotten. The Lord, he knows, and he is holding them. He's got bowls all around full of the prayers of the saints. Verse 9 says they sang a new song. Don't you love that? Not the old songs, not from the 50s, not from the 60s. But not those old songs that the world has, but the songs that are the psalms of the Lord, because God is doing a new thing. And when God is doing a new thing, there's a new song to be sung. Hallelujah. You know how they used to do songs in the old days. Whenever there was a great story of victory, when there was conquering, and when those who went to battle would do great feats, they would write songs about it. He went out and he took his bow and he pulled it back and he struck the foe and it was dead and alive no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when you sing in the shower, God is like, yeah, that's a new song. It's a new sound too. So let it out, and God will give you a new song. He will give you a reason to sing. Have you ever been so excited that you just make up a song? You just start singing stuff? That's a gift from God. Hallelujah. That is the Lord. God will give you a victory song. Hallelujah. Nobody can sing your song. Nobody can sing your song. That's your song. You sing your song. It's a new song. Somebody says, what song is that? Oh, it's a new song. Oh, you don't know this song. Why? You know, no, this is a new song. Hallelujah. You don't even have to explain it. You say, listen, one day you'll understand. Hallelujah. One day you will understand. Hallelujah. God gives us a new song. He says, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, because the seal was designed so that it could not be opened except those who are authorized. When Jesus was placed in the tomb, there was a seal on it, the seal of the government. And it said, do not open. Hallelujah. So Jesus was able to open the seal because he had the authority. He had accomplished the will of God. He fulfilled the will of God. He says, you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. In other words, Jesus was slain in order to pay or to buy us. Hallelujah. Jesus. That is the love of God. That is the love of God. He loves you so much that he died for you. Hallelujah. And that's not something to be taken lightly, but the reason he died was he paid the price. He purchased. He purchased us. Hallelujah. And so you and I, we're something of value to God. Does anybody buy something and just like, eh? No. When you buy something, oh, and it's something that you prize, something that you really appreciate, something that you gave up everything to get. You stop going out to eat. You stop buying things. You stop doing other things in order to save, to pull all your resources together, because you gave your all in order to make that purchase. Hallelujah. Do you just trash it? Do you just take it lightly? Oh no, you take care of it, right? How many people, when you buy a car or you buy a home, oh, when you get that thing, oh, it's clean. Everybody's going around and they're cleaning. The first thing you do when you move into a new house is what? It's cleaning. It doesn't matter if they just finished building it yesterday. You coming in, you're gonna clean again. Isn't that right? You clean and you take care of it. You paint it, you make it look nice, you establish it so that it's comfortable and it has all the things that you need and everything is the way it ought to be. Well, that's what God is doing with us. He is making us to be a kingdom of priests unto God. So he has purchased us. Now he is transforming us. Now he's molding us and he's shaping us and he is making us to be the people of God. God is doing a great work. Why? Because he wants to use us to blow the horn. Hallelujah. He wants to use us to blow the horn. Verse 10 says, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. Not in heaven. Hello. I are called of God, we reign by the Spirit of God and the power of God. And that is why you cannot underestimate who you are and what God has called you to do. So when was this horn blown? When was it time to blow the horn? Now that we understand only the priest of God could blow the horn of the lineage of Aaron, or those who were made priests by the working of the blood of Jesus and the hand of God as the word of God is manifested in our lives, you and I become instrumentalists before the Lord. You and I, we can blow the horn of God. And so in Numbers 10, 8, verses 9, it says, when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Ha ha. Oh, this is when it's time to blow the horn. When you go to war against the adversary who what? Attacks you. In other words, you were going along doing what God has called you to do, minding your own business. You were just being faithful. You were just trusting in the Lord. And then the devil shows up and he says, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to bind you. I'm going to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to bring you to a place of oppression and bondage. I'm going to discourage you so bad you don't want to do anything for the Lord. You're just going to want to suffer and mope along through life until eventually you die. That's what Satan's goal is, to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what he does. He robs you of your joy. He robs you of your zeal for God, your willingness to do what God is calling you to do. He robs you of your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, and all of the fruit of the Spirit is being pulled away from us. He uses his own form of distractions and his own ways to bind and hinder us. That is an attack of the enemy. He attacks us physically in our bodies so that we don't have what we need. But I want to let you know that when you sound the alarm, God remembers you. Hallelujah. God remembers you. It says that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Hallelujah. That's when you blow the horn. You blow the horn. There is a sound that you make that calls God, and God comes to your rescue. Verse 10 says, also in the day of your gladness, not your sadness, but in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feast, and on the first days of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Oh, hallelujah. You gotta love this. Not only do you just bring an offering, right? Oftentimes we think, well, I just brought my offering. Well, I've made my sacrifices. I've done. No. Then the horn gets blown over the offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the sound that says, God, we're ready now. Everything is in its place. Everything has been done according to your word. God, we need to hear from you. And God says, oh. God remembers, and he comes to us. When the word of God talks about God remembering, it's talking about God acknowledging and coming to your aid. And it is designed for us to have an encounter with God. It calls God so that God knows. You say, well, how does God know? Well, God knows because he hears the horn. He hears the sound. And he comes. He responds to his word. According to his word. And so he we see that the horn is blown so that our enemies can be defeated. The challenges and the obstacles that we face, it will summon God. It reminds God, remember me, Lord. Remember me. And so the horn was blown in specific ways. How was the horn blown? Oh, it took practice, but it had a reason to be blown. The first blast, there are four common blasts that were used in Israel, that were used as the instrumentalist would be able to call on the name of the Lord. They were distinguished sounds. And the first sound is known as the tekiah. And it is this long blast that has one or two notes, and it was used to praise God. Whenever it was time to praise and worship God, there was a sound that would go out in all the land of Israel from the house of God. It would go out, and the horn sound would blow something like this. Hallelujah. That is the call to praise and worship God. And when you heard that sound, no matter where you were, no matter what you were doing, you would know it's time to praise the Lord. And so God would use this sound of the shofar to declare this working of the Spirit of God in the midst of Israel, to remind them of all that God has done, and to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. The second sound is known as the shofarim. And the shofarim was used in order to establish or to declare the brokenness or repentance when there was sin in a person's life or in the life of the nation of Israel. When they had sinned and they missed God, the priests were to call the people to order with these blasts from the trumpets, using a particular sound that sounds like this. Hallelujah. This is the sound of repentance. Three tones, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. And so the sounds were established. And when the horns were sounded in Israel, it was a call to the people. God would call upon the people. And there were different types of horns. And there were the long horns, as you have just seen. And then there's the short horn. This is the little ram's horn. That was like this. And these horns were used in order to create different sounds so that when they were blended together, they would have a unique harmony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you ever wonder how you could pick a key in a song and you have all different people singing all around you, and some have high voices, some have low voices, and yet they're all able to sing together even though the key is a unique key? Well, that's what the harmonies are for. That is why you have alto, you have sopranos, and you have tenors, right? Because each voice sings within its range in order to blend, to create a holistic sound so that everyone can give their all in the worship of the Lord. And so the horns were used, these various types of horns. And this particular sound is the sound of brokenness. It is the sound of repentance. And then there was also the sound of warfare and victory. Hallelujah. You see, when you blew the horn, you didn't expect to lose. You expected to win. And that is why the call to warfare and the call to victory are the same. Hallelujah. Because if you're going to call on the name of the Lord, if you expect God to show up, you certainly aren't expecting him to lose, are you? Are you sure? Oh. Well, sometimes that might be in dispute, hallelujah, based on the sounds that people make. And so your sound for the call of God into battle and your sound of victory needs to be the same. Hallelujah. That is why when you're in a sporting match and someone on the team you're rooting for has a great play, or they do something that outwits their opponent and they're able to score, or they're able to at least get the advantage, there is a sound that is just like the sound of victory. It's like, yay! Hallelujah. Oh, and this is why when you call on God, we are able to rise up. And this is why we need one another, because sometimes Satan will discourage you and you will call on God, but then all of a sudden he floods your mind with all of the what ifs and all of the things that might go wrong and that might happen, because he wants to remind you of what he is doing. And God says, oh no, once you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be delivered. That's what Romans tells us. And that is what the sound of warfare and victory sounds like. It sounds like this. Hallelujah. 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 You like that sound? The sound of victory. So when you heard that, da 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 da, hallelujah, you knew, we've won. Hallelujah. We've won. Hallelujah. That is the way God has called us to live, knowing that the victory belongs to the Lord. And so when you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, the word of God says. Hallelujah. And so the final one is Takiyah Gedolah. Hallelujah. Not the hallelujah, just the Takiyah Gedolah. And so this is the sound that is the sound of the goodness of God. It's for his thanks and his mercy. Once you have repented, once God's grace has been poured out upon you, once he has delivered you, once he has set you free. In fact, this is the sound that is believed by some that it'll be the sound that the Lord will sound when he returns at his second coming. The sound of Jubilee. The Jubilee sound is this long tone sound. It's a blast of the trumpet that's designed to give thanks unto God for his mercy, his goodness, and his grace, for his ultimate following through on his promises. And this is the sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that sound is to be held until those who blow the horn are completely out of breath and cannot blow anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, do you know the sounds of God? Do you know the sounds of the horn? Oh, the sounds of the horn are for those who call on God. Do you know how to call on the Lord? Do you know how to allow God to remember you, to be brought into your presence? That is why we praise him. That is why we worship him. That is why we bring glory and honor to his name through the sounds of the horn. Because God is doing a great thing in our lives. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon had finished with the temple and he had built it and established it, we see that here in verses 1 through 14, it says Solomon finished praying. He does this prayer of dedication. Then fire came down from heaven and it consumed the burnt offering. And we know that when the burnt offerings were consumed, the priests were blowing the horns over the offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Could you imagine this? The sounds of the horn are blowing, and there is this fire coming down, and the Spirit of God fills the house. Hallelujah. That is powerful. So much so that the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. The Lord's house ought to be filled with his glory. It is the place where the people make a sound of praise unto God, where the glory of God is established in the midst of his people, where the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, fills the place. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, you and I ought to be making a sound of victory before the Lord. You and I need to be able to know these different sounds. We need to know the sound of victory. We need to know the sounds of repentance. We need to know the sounds of warfare and the sounds of worship and praise. And we need to know the sounds of grace and mercy being completed or fulfilled in our lives. Saints of God, it's important to know the sounds of the Lord. Verse 3 says, all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement. Hallelujah. Didn't even know they had pavement back then, did you? Oh, yeah, you thought they only had dirt roads. But no, they were on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And what did they do? They worshiped and gave what? Praises to the Lord. They didn't just lay on the ground a little down like this going. They were going, hallelujah, 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 glory to God, hallelujah. They were giving praise unto God. They said, saints of God, you need to learn how to praise God in every position you find yourself in. You need to be able to make the appropriate sound to say, God, remember me. Remember me in my situations. Remember me in my circumstances. Oh, saints of God, give praise to the Lord. And they said, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. They declared the word of God. They cried out to God. Verse 4 says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. And everyone came and brought their sacrifice. Why? They were repenting. They were being reconciled to God. They were coming in before the Lord. And it was never quiet. There was the sound of the horns and the worship of the Lord. Verse 6 says, the priests, they stood at their post. That's an important thing. They didn't say, well, I can't make it that day. Oh, they didn't just not show up and not tell anybody. They were at their post. And saints of God, you need to be at your post. There is a post in the house of the Lord that has your name on it. You are called to. You and I are called to be at our post so that we can be the priestly line of Jesus that we have been made into. And that we might be like the Levites who with their instruments of music to the Lord were at their post. David had made these instruments, and we're all familiar with how David praised the Lord for giving praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Instruments were created to bring praise and honor to God. That's why they were created. And why? Because of his loving kindness that is eternal. The loving kindness of God never runs out. It never runs dry. And whenever he gave praise by their means, while the priests on the other side, they blew trumpets, and all Israel was standing before the Lord. And hallelujah. In other words, there was a great sound of worship and praise in the midst. And it was something like this. The sound of Tekiah. This is the sound of praise and worship that was taking place when the people were standing and praising God. Oh, saints of God, I hope you're not just standing in silence, but that you're standing in the midst of praise, in the midst of the worship of the Lord. It says, then Verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Saints of God, I pray that God speaks to you at night. I pray that he establishes your house, your home, as a place where the Spirit of God can dwell, where the Spirit of God is able to work, where you can draw closer to God. Hallelujah. He says, if I shut up the heavens, verse 13, so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. What does this sound like? Doesn't this sound like what the Egyptians experienced? This is God reminding them of the plagues that God can bring when you're in opposition to God. In fact, Israel had this experience themselves as they began to come under captivity through the Babylonians because of their disobedience to God. So God says, if this ever happens, if you find yourself out of the place of favor, or out of the place of, not really out of favor, but really in a place of disobedience, or in a place where you're outside of the will of God and the plan and the purpose of God, when you're not at your post when you should have been, then he says, if I do all of these things, he says, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what God says. It says, even if you sinned, even if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, even if you've done something you shouldn't have done, he says, if you who are called by my name will humble yourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, and then God says he will forgive our sin and heal the land. Hallelujah. 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 Saints of God, God always makes a way out from the snare of the enemy. God always makes a way for healing and reconciliation. God is a God of forgiveness, of deliverance, of healing. He is a God of renewal and revival. This is the sound of brokenness. This is the sound of humility. The sound of the people who are called by his name. When they humble themselves, the sound would go forth into the air, and all of Israel would come to repentance. Hallelujah. Repentance has a sound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when Joshua went around the walls of Jericho, they sounded the horn and the walls came down. Hallelujah. The sound of victory, the sound of God bringing down the fortress of the enemy. Saints of God, you and I, we're more than conquerors. Why are we more than conquerors? Because all we need to do is blow a horn. Man, that is powerful. And then God shows up and does a work. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror because it's the Lord who fights for you. 1 John 4:1 says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it's of God or not. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't just listen to any sound. Don't just listen to any voice. Don't let anything minister to you and take you to a place that is contrary to God. But allow the word of God, the spirit of God, and allow the testing of the things of the Spirit and of the Word to make the way clear to you so that you will know what sounds to follow. This is why David, when he was challenged with the sounds, as we see in Daniel 3, 6, and 7, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, the nations, and men of every language, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And saints of God, there were some in parts of the nation or the land that Nebuchadnezzar ruled over that did not see the image. All they did was hear the sound of the music. All they did was hear the sound of what was playing. And the particular sound was the sound that was a call to worship. And I would submit to you, all music is a call to worship. All music is a call to worship. The question is it unto the Lord or is it to the golden image that is somewhere in another place that you don't see and you don't know, but the sound is tied to the image. And saints of God, that is why you have to be careful what music you're listening to. You have to be careful what music you're dancing to, you're celebrating to, you are allowing to fill your house, because you might be filling your house with the sound of the golden image. And Daniel refused. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused. Why? Because they knew the sound of the horn. And so the sound of the horn is designed for a purpose. The sound of the horn is designed for you and I to be able to declare the way of the Lord, the sound of God, the Spirit of God. You and I, we have a horn that comes from the Lord. We have the sound of the Lord. In Revelations 8, 1 and 2, when the Lamb broke the seal, the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And then he says, I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Saints of God, you and I, we need to have a trumpet in our hands. You need a trumpet. You need to be able to sound the alarm of God. You need to be able to blow the shofar. And you need to. You need to blow the sound of the shofar. It needs to be a radiant sound. Do you know the sounds of the Lord today? Do you recognize the sound of the horn? Do you know what to do when the horn blows? When the sounds of God fill the air? Saints of God, I pray that you are celebrating according to the law of the Spirit of God with the horn of salvation, and that you are proclaiming and magnifying the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, because the Spirit of the Lord is in the midst of His people. And when you call upon Him, when you acknowledge Him in all your ways, God will be faithful. He will show up. He will remember you. And He will demonstrate His loving kindness toward us. I pray that you know the sound of the horn today. that you recognize the voice of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and they follow him. I pray that you're following the sound of God, the sound of the Spirit of the Lord, as the horn of God is being blown over your life, in the midst of your life, that the Spirit of the Lord would be glorified and magnified in all that you do, in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, that you would manifest yourself in the power of the Spirit of God, and that the anointing of God would be alive in the midst of us as we fulfill the will of God, as we walk in the call of God, as we stand at our post, as the Spirit of God works, and as the Lord is ministered to, that we would lift up the sound of victory and praise in the name of the Lord, as Jesus Christ has transformed us and made us the priests of God, in Jesus' name. And we give you thanks, oh God, for all these things, and all God's people said, amen, amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
And amen, hallelujah.
Glory to the name of the Lord.